Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Monday, March 20th, and it is 1 p.m. here in Woodland Hills, California. My name is Salvador Frias, and you are listening to Let's Get Real, where we get to meet people that make film happen. Our guest today is someone with over 10 years in the entertainment industry and worked for about 3 years in Australia. I'd like to welcome Krista Carpenter to the show. How are you doing, Krista?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad to have you here. So how did you first get into the entertainment industry?
How did I first get into it? Wow, it feels like there wasn't any one thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm from rural Indiana, and so the journey to make that first step out here is kind of like long and convoluted. But really what I did was I moved out here as an actor and did that for many years. And while I was acting, I did a lot of assistant jobs. And I think that was probably my first, you know, doing student films, plays, et cetera, that sort of thing.
Okay, so acting was what your main focus was. That's what you wanted your career to do.
That's what I thought I wanted it to do when I was 20 years old, yeah.
What made you change your mind?
Failure. Oh. No, it was a wonderful experience. Like, I moved out here with, you know, when you grow up in a place where you're not as familiar with the industry and all of the different roles that are, or job positions that are available, you kind of just go to the obvious, which is, I'm going to be a movie star, or I'm going to be a director or a writer. And so I moved out here with the aspirations to act. And I realized after a while I was treating my career more like a business. You know, I would, not that I didn't love the creative aspects of it, but I also was just, you know, really putting myself out there in sort of a business type way. And it was a struggle. I mean, it's a combination of talent and luck. And who knows, maybe I didn't have either. But I eventually just had like a soul searching moment and went, you know, I think that my talents would be better put to use if I were still working in this industry, but more on the business side.
Okay, and that's what you've been doing for the past few years.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Well, now this is really going to age me. Yeah, that's what I've been doing for more than a while. I was working as an assistant for a studio head and a personal assistant, and we had a conversation, and luckily this is one of my biggest advice to people that are trying to break into the industry is find those people that are willing to mentor you, that you respect and like, and cultivate those relationships. So that's what happened. I talked with her, and she introduced me to various colleagues of hers, and I broke in by being an assistant to a producer.
Okay. I saw on your IMDb page that you worked on The Soloist and When in Rome as a development and part of the development division. What were some of your roles working on those films?
Yeah, well, and that's actually when I made that transition. So I started working for the producer that produced The Soloist and When in Rome, Gary Foster, and he was the person who I was first introduced to when I wanted to transition from my life as an actor to working as a producer's assistant and then eventual development executive. So on those films, I actually wasn't quite in development yet. I was assisting Gary, and we shot on Skid Row in downtown Los Angeles for many months. So it was on set overnights all day. You know, it was you know how film sets are. It was
right.
Very busy. It was a wonderful experience. I was fortunate enough to work with this producer who was one of those people that would be willing to take somebody under their wing and you want to work hard for.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we went to New York and shot When in Rome in Manhattan. So like a wildly different experience going from downtown LA to Manhattan. And then after that, it was just being really clear about communicating what I wanted to do with my future and being a little bit older of an assistant. I said, can we please, you know, cut to the chase?
Right.
I would love to work in development. And he was gracious enough to, you know, bring me into the development team. So that's when I started reading scripts for him and writing coverage.
Okay. How was it that you initially got your foot in the door for something so big of a project?
Well, okay. So actually now you're making me think of how did I break in? And this is where it just shows that there are absolutely no rules or pathways into what you're going to do. So, okay. So I was out here working as an actor. As one of my survival jobs, I was a swimming teacher. So I was teaching swimming lessons for high-level executives, producers, et cetera, actors. And that was when I got the job working for the studio head as a personal assistant. She's the one that introduced me to Gary. And when I started working with him, it was just by way of introduction. So it was basically whatever opportunity was I was presented with, just conveying clearly what I wanted my next step to be, and you know, doing my job well. I tried to, when I first got introduced to Gary, my goal was to each day go to set and just prove myself and work very hard.
Okay. So you were born in Indiana, but there was a point in your life where you went and you crossed the world and went to Australia. How did that happen? What's that story?
And like I said, that there's no clear pathway. This is a perfect example of it. So when I was working in development with Gary, I was also working with a woman who is from Australia, and she was the development executive at the same company I was at. And then when she moved back to Australia, she recruited me to go work at the Film Funding Commission agency there. It's called Screen West. So in Australia, each of the states there has a film funding body in addition to the federal funding body, Screen Australia. And she said, would you like to come and work here? And so I thought, I have no idea. I've never been to Australia before, but the job seemed incredible and unique and multifaceted. So I applied for it. And the next thing you know, I got it, and I moved to Western Australia, which is very far. It's about a 23-hour trip door to door. And I thought I would stay there for 1 year, and I ended up staying over 3 years running the development division of that agency.
Well, how would you say your experience was over there?
It was absolutely fantastic. It was so challenging, and you know, just because when I was working over in the industry here as a development executive for, I mean, doing feature film development, and going over there, I thought, oh, maybe I'll be doing a similar thing for that agency. But once you move to a foreign country, you know, you have to learn. I mean, they speak the same language, but there are a lot of words they use that are not the same.
Right, so
there's a bit of culture shock. And just learning how the funding system works there, how they finance films, the fact that the government and the Department of Culture and the Arts provides so much funding and support for the filmmakers is a unique and wonderful thing. It was challenging. It was wonderful, and I think that's why I stayed over a year. I stayed there, well over a year. I stayed there three years, 3 months.
Oh wow!
But really opened my eyes to, you know, how films can be made internationally, as opposed to just here.
Okay. Do you still have ties with working with the people over there now?
Yes, definitely. So during my time there, I ran the development division, and I had a team, and part of what we did was not only fund the established production companies and provide development funding for their slate of projects, but we would also create programs to support up-and-coming filmmakers. So whether it be, we're going to fund your web series, we're going to fund your short film, script development funding, et cetera, or even travel to conferences. You know, if a filmmaker has a short film in a film festival across the world, we could potentially fund their travel for that. So, you know, by doing that, I got to know a lot of the filmmakers, not only in Western Australia, Perth, and surrounding regions. It's a very, very big state. And when I came back, I thought, I want to continue to work with them. There's so much talent there. There's so much talent here. And, you know, a lot of people are starting to cultivate these relationships internationally and put films together that you can shoot there, shoot here, but with an Australian producer. And so I've definitely maintained my relationship with Australians. I was working with an organization last year called Australians in Film. And they're really great. They just opened up a new space at Raleigh Studios in the old Charlie Chaplin office. And they work to help facilitate relationships for Australians that come over here from there. And so I've kept in the mix. That's why I say I'm an adopted Aussie, sort of. I could never pick up the accent while I was there, though.
Oh. And I saw that you also worked in, not work, but you were in Spain for a while.
Now that's going way back. yes. So when I was in college, I almost said when I was at university. That's uh-huh. Very Australian. When I was in college, I studied abroad for a semester, and that was when I thought I was going to be a Spanish professor. So this is where, when you're a student and you have these plans and your major and I think I was even asking you what earlier what your focus of study is here. Right. And I actually went into college with as a journalism major. And I changed that to be a Spanish and English major. And then I was going to go to graduate school to teach Spanish and ended up running into a friend one night who said, I'm moving to Hollywood to become an actress. And I thought, that seems great. I'm going to do that too. So that was the big decision to come out here and then cut to many years later.
Okay. So you did have a desire to teach at one point. Do you ever think you might still go that, but in a different direction, like teach about your business, your industry? Do you think that could ever be an option?
I think it definitely could be an option. One of the things that, you know, I loved to do when I was working in Australia was, you know, do sort of panels where you sit and kind of dispense advice and, you know, I don't know if it's advice or your experience, kind of like what we're doing here. It's just to share your experience because I love learning from what other people have done with their careers. And the things that have inspired me is that there's just no right answer in terms of, because when I first moved out here, I had this insecurity that I didn't go to film school, didn't start working as an assistant at one of the big agencies, which a lot of people do. And that's a really great opportunity for people that get it. But then just learning that the people around me that were quite successful and talented had just as bizarre pathways as I have. So it's, you know, to spend 3 years in Western Australia is definitely off the beaten path, not necessarily what you think of when you think of a trajectory to producing and managing, but it's where life took me. And so but to answer your question, when I was in Spain, I was there for about 5 months, and I think that's what opened me up to wanting to travel the world, and that's why I think I was brave enough to go to Australia by myself.
Right. Oh, so you went alone. You didn't have any friends or family with you.
I knew the one person that had recruited me over there, and that was it. And my husband was living here the whole time.
Oh, wow.
And so I touched down having never been there. I had to learn how to drive on the other side of the road. It's an adventure. But I think that's what sort of working in the film industry is you're in this massive territory that you just have to kind of make your way and figure it out and have fun while you're doing it.
Right.
And be brave, I guess. Adventurous, risk-taking.
So has that opened you to want to work in other places of the world? Do you have any places that you are looking into maybe exploring over there? You found so much talent in Australia. Maybe you're looking at other parts of the world.
I would definitely look in other parts of the world. I mean, to go right next door, New Zealand is also a very lovely place. And ultimately, I mean, I sometimes joke, but it's kind of true that half of what I want, why I want to do this is I want to go back there. I want to shoot a film there. I want to work with Aussie. It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful place. And so, of course, I would definitely be open to working in other countries, and I'll figure that out. But because I've just moved back, my focus is definitely I'm focusing on Australia right now just because I've developed that niche and the experience there. So I'm going to stick with that for right now. But who knows if suddenly there's an opportunity to go to another country, I definitely am the kind of person that would go, okay.
Right.
My husband probably doesn't want to hear that.
He can tune out for that part of the show. What do you think is some of the more difficult parts of your job? What are the hard tasks that you have to do on the day-to-day?
Well, right now, see, things are, and this is the other thing about the industry, which I'm sure you know or have heard from other people, is that it's every day is something different. And so I think it's depending on what role you want to go into in the film industry. I think producing and managing is one that requires, you know, wanting to just multitask and do things all day long, this and that, this and that. Right now, I just started my own company within the last 2 months, 3 months, with a business partner. So the challenges that I'm facing now are definitely different than the challenges that I faced when I was working in Australia. But both, the similarity is that it's just requiring you to juggle like 1,000 balls at the same time and make sure nothing falls through the cracks and just figuring out ways to navigate through the industry. So, and this was where, when I was an actor, I felt like I was kind of trying to do that, although perhaps unsuccessfully as an actor, but I think it's suited for this new pathway for me. So it's about planting seeds everywhere you go, cultivating relationships. So it's even just in enjoying what you're doing. So if it's going to a screening, like I was at a play last night, I was at a screening the night before, and I love that. So it's going out there, meeting new people, and developing genuine relationships. So it doesn't feel like you're just all networky. And I think it's just finding talent, reading scripts. It's a lot, but so I'd say the biggest challenge is just finding time in the day. That's why when you saw me earlier, I'm, you know, thank goodness for the smartphone.
Right. Business anywhere. What drove you to start your own company? Was this a thing in the making, or was it more recent idea?
Well, you know what? It when I look at my whole career journey up to now, it kind of was all leading to this, but it's a scary jump to make to not be working in an established company that you have a secure income and know what each day will bring. So it had been kind of brewing in my mind, I think, since I was 7 years old, realistically, which sounds crazy. But when I was little, and again, to give you an idea of how old I am, I would make movies with one of those huge camcorders and carry around the really, really heavy battery. I mean, it was ridiculous. Right. Like, now you can do it all on your iPhone. But I started making my first short films when I was 7, and then I have these really terrible, of course they're terrible, but I realized at one point in my life, I wanted to produce. I wanted to create my own content and work with filmmakers from the time I was little. And so it was just kind of coming to terms with the fact that I wouldn't be happy unless I was doing that. So I just had to take the leap. And it was after, you know, moving back here and I lived in Hollywood for about 15 years before I moved to Australia. So it kind of cleared my head and then came back going, this is definitely what I want to do. And so now it's great because I'm getting to work with really exciting up-and-coming filmmakers, and we'll see what happens, but I'm very excited about it.
Are there any projects in particular you're really excited about, anything that's really grabbed your attention?
I definitely am. I don't know if I can talk about them on the air, but but we've got various filmmakers from Australia and the US, and I love looking for talented writers, directors, creators. We're working with some multi-hyphenates that do everything. You know, they're acting, writing, directing, producing. And it's really exciting to see people with really bold voices that when you read something, like where you're excited to get the next draft or the next one sheet of theirs because you think they're either so hilarious or they have such a specific socially conscious voice that it's... Yeah, so I do have projects that I am very excited about in all different areas. So web series, pilots, scripted original pilots for television, some indie feature films, and some that I would hope that we could shoot in Australia as well.
Okay. I know you just talked about the company that you just started, but are there any specific goals you have moving forward for your company or for you that you hope happen in the next few years or maybe even down the line more?
Yeah, right now I definitely want to be able to, you know, work on behalf of the clients that we have. So we're representing actors, writers, and directors. And so it's a matter of looking at what we're able to do for them and make sure that we don't take on too many and make sure that we are finding the people that we... And I'm so excited about the people we're working with, so that's already... a success. Like, I can tick that box off for the beginning of the year is find people that you want to create with. So yeah, I would love to get these clients jobs. I would love to get things into production. I mean, if we're looking at a couple years down the road, I would definitely like to have projects made. I want to be constantly busy, I guess, is the goal.
Right.
Constantly busy. Which I think is what you want if you're going to produce and manage.
Right, of course. You're talking about you don't pick up every client that comes. I mean, you don't make them a client. You have a process that you go through, a screening process. You guys watch, like, you guys have to go through pitches. Like, what's that process like, choosing your clientele?
Yeah, and it's so funny because, of course, for years I was I was an actor and trying to put myself out there and get meetings and get noticed by managers or agents or this or that. And now I'm kind of in both worlds because there are clients that we want to represent. So we're looking for talent, but then we have to turn around and take it to buyers ourselves. So we're both the kind of the buyer and the seller. But there's so many different pathways into finding talent. The one thing it's tricky is you can't take unsolicited submissions for legal reasons, but it would just be too overwhelming, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's going to film festivals and looking at short films. A lot of it's referrals from colleagues that go, oh, here's this filmmaker that you've got to meet. They're fantastic. But yeah, you know, going to screenings and discovering people that way. And then and sometimes it's a matter of, I think that person is fantastic. Oh, but they already are represented. So, okay. Or it's, that person is amazing, but I don't know that we're the right people to push them forward. So it's being smart about the decision, because ultimately you don't want to try to get somebody to sign with you that you don't feel like you could be very useful to, because that wouldn't be fair to either of you. So it's a lot of, yes, reading scripts, watching things online, but also personal relationships that you've built over the years. I think that's the main thing, is just continuing to make relationships.
Okay. If you could say anything to someone who's trying to get into your profession, into your business, and maybe they just got out of college and they're new to everything, what would you tell them? How would you guide them to do what you do?
One of the things that I think is important is to keep a really open mind about what it is you want to do, because like I said, my career path is it's not like a straight line. It's a squiggly mark going all over the place. But ultimately, that's okay, because all of those experiences feed into what you're trying to do. So having been an actor and kind of grown up in the industry with actors, writers, directors, etc., I feel like I have a good rapport with the creators. It's also always take a meeting. I mean, it's sometimes people think, oh, I don't know if I need to meet with that person because I don't know what the point is. And I just feel like just meet people and get to know them, because you never know who's going to be working at this company in 5 years or that company in a year. And I think it's being open-minded and also being very proactive. So I have seen people kind of just let the industry consume them, and it's almost happened to me at times, especially when I was acting. And you have to kind of just stay firm in yourself and go, okay, what do I want to do? Trust my instincts and go out there and find your path. And it gets different for everybody, and you can't compare to other people. That's the other thing I would say. Don't compare to your friend who just skyrocketed to success, because maybe that's not your path. And it's figuring it out, what's right for you, and be open to change, because you never know. You might go, oh, I actually don't want to be that. I want to do this instead. And navigating a new path.
Okay. And it seems like you have a really busy, hectic work schedule. Your life must be just packed full of stuff. How important is it to have just a bunch of people supporting you?
I am so lucky that I have such a great friend base, and they're all these amazing creative people. I mean, like I said, it's writers, actors, directors, musicians, comedians, etc. So it's so wonderful to be part of a community where you go and support their projects and their shows, and they in return support you in different ways. It's like I was saying, last night I was at a theater production for my husband was involved and some friends, and earlier in the week I was at a screening for a friend who directed a film. And it's like I've said this before, but it's building on these relationships and being there for other people, because at some point you're going to need them. It's so important, because no matter what, you're going to have highs and lows. So you need that friend base out here. I think it's really, really important.
Okay. Is there anything about you besides the industry that you think people would like to know about? Anything about you, stuff you do when you're not working?
I don't know what people would want to know. I'm trying to think of God. Well, I used to run in the Camp Pendleton military boot camp mud run race all the time.
Wow.
And I have just recently signed up for the race this June, and it's a 10K race through mud where you have to crawl on your stomach, climb over walls, and run against the Marines.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
I don't know if people would want to know that about me, but
oh, definitely.
But it's a little bit random.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's all the time we have today. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And if you want to find out more what Krista's doing, you can go on her IMDb page. I'll have the link there for you guys. And please join me next week on Let's Get Real, where I will be talking to Matt Patterson, who works as an associate manager with the Warner Archive. This is Salvador Frias with KPCRadio.com.